We could all stand. Such an awesome presence of God in this place tonight. Need to make mention, just so you, some of you may be wondering, the pastor and his wife, they're actually on their anniversary. Their anniversary is November 6th, which was yesterday, and they're, I believe, up at somewhere, Door County. I kept thinking Door Creek, and I'm like, no, it's not Door Creek, Door County. Enjoying their anniversary. But it's great to be back. We've been on vacation for, it feels like sometimes you go and it's the fastest week of the whole year, and you get back and you feel like everything, you got to play catch up. but it's an honor to have Brother Rufus Parker, his lovely wife here. I remember the first time that I met Brother Parker, my father called me and said, we have a missionary in town. I want you to take him over to Tumbleweed and get him some lunch. And I had no idea who they were, where they were from. I went and grabbed Brother John Rivas and I said, hey, you're going with me. But that was the beginning of a great friendship, and Brother Parker is a tremendous man of God. As I said, he does have some books for sale that he has written. I strongly encourage, I'm not putting this in as a plug for Brother Parker, but they're just great books. If you want to take and really make some changes in your life, some God-ordained changes in your life, and you want to, you know, sometimes we look at leadership and we get all off into the secular world as far as leadership, but this is just good old hardcore God-ordained leadership, and lots of scripture. Also, I want to put a plug in for this because I wake up every morning to Brother Rufus Parker's preaching, and he has a, I don't know, it's called Morning Manna. You can talk with him on how to get it on your computer or get it on your phone. I have it on my new phone. And every morning I get up and I have devotion with Brother Rufus Parker. And it's an honor, and it's been a great thing in my life. And at this time I'd like to bring Brother Rufus Parker, a great man of God and a great friend.
Love you. There's an old song we used to sing. It says, oh, I want to see him. I want to look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Sing it with me. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Sing it again. I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. A many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on through, and I must win. And oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, to see forever of his saving grace. It is on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. There's all past, home protects my soul, turn my thoughts aside. But my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever betide. Singing, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Dare to sing forever of his saving grace. And it's on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he does save me keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Singing, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. To sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. Singing, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, I want to see you, Lord. I want to look upon your face. Dare to sing forever of his saving grace. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I praise you, Lord. Oh, I worship you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power. Won't we have time when we get over yonder? Won't we have time when we get over yonder? Oh, won't we have time? Won't we? Well, won't we have time when we get over yonder? Won't we have time when we get over yonder? Won't we have time? When we get over yonder, oh, won't we have time? Sing it again. Well, won't we have time? When we get over yonder, won't we have time? When we get over yonder, won't we have time? When we get over yonder, oh, won't we have time? There is power. Power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Well, the mighty God is Jesus, the Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father, the King eternally. The wonderful in wisdom, by whom all things are made. The the fullness of the Godhead. In Jesus is displayed. I tell you, it's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Emmanuel, God is with us. Jehovah, Lord of hosts, the omnipresent Spirit, which fills the universe. The advocate, the high priest, the lamb for sinners slain, the author of redemption. Oh, glory to His name. I tell you, it's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. The Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the living Word incarnate, the helpless sinner friend. Our wisdom and perfection, our righteousness and power. Yeah, all you need is Jesus. You find this very hour. I tell you, it's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Our God for whom we waited will be our glad refrain of Israel's recreated when Jesus comes again. Lo, He will come and save us, our King and Prince to be. For in Him dwell all fullness, and Lord of all is He. I tell you, it's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead, it's all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, don't remove those old landmarks which your fathers have set up. Those old songs, amen. I was listening to Brother Roy, and he says, how many of you are not 38 yet, right? Praise God. I'm glad you're in church.
Yeah.
That lets me know that the future of the church is in good hands. Hallelujah. As Moses admonished the children of Israel, teach it to your children.
Yeah.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you must love Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. These words I command you this day must be hidden in your heart, and you must teach them diligently to your children. Talk about them when you get up. Talk about them when you're in the way. Talk about them when you lay down. Praise God. Write it as signs before your eyes. Amen. Write it on your hands, your doorposts. Hallelujah. Don't forget God. I don't care how good it gets for you. Don't forget God. I don't care how bad it gets. Don't forget God. God turned to Abraham and He says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Job, where were you when I set the foundations of the heavens? Amen. There's nothing too hard for God.
Amen.
I know not anything. Paul says He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. There's nothing too hard for God. What I have come to find out is we just need to change our thinking.
Solomon says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you change your thinking, you realize that God has always been God. He hasn't changed. And he can still do what he said he's going to do. They that wait upon the Lord. The problem is we don't want to wait. And I know you know the root word for waiter and waitress, don't you? It's wait. But see, our problem is we don't change our thinking. And so when we go to a restaurant, the waiters are slow. We don't want to wait. We say, we'll go somewhere else where we can get it faster. Instead of waiting. See, sometimes God may be teaching us a little patience. Jesus says in Luke 21:19, in your patience, possess ye your soul. So you've got to learn how to wait. Hold on. Change is coming. Don't worry about a thing. He'll be there. He's an on-time God. Guarantee you, he'll be there. You just hold on. You seen that caption of the cat on the end of the rope, and it said, just tie a knot and hold on. He'll be there. Amen. Last time I was here, I was by myself. I think my wife was in Japan at that time. Where were you? She was Mother's Day. Doing what? Oh, with her mom. Has it been that long ago? Wow. May, and here it is, December almost. Amen. Well, she's here tonight, and I want her to come testify. Amen. They said, can any good thing come out of Wisconsin?
Praise God. Praise God. I thought that was North Carolina that question was asked of, and obviously there can, because I've got the best from North Carolina. You may be seated if you'd like to. My soul is full tonight. I was sitting over there, and the scripture kept going through over and over in my mind. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. And so I got out my little iPod Touch, and I thought, okay, where is it, God? We were joking earlier that I can remember the scriptures, but I don't always get the chapter and verse. And I'm amazed. Do you know where that's said at? Do you know who said that? Mary. When she went to see Elizabeth. And we know the story, maybe you don't read it in Luke if you don't. And Elizabeth's baby leapt in its womb when Mary walked in, and your favorite of the Lord. And we complain about the things that we go through in life. You know, if it's too hot, we complain. And if it's too cold, we complain. And if we're healthy, we complain. And if we have food, we wish we had, you know, we have porterhouse steak and we wish that we had fish. And if we have fish, we want hamburger. And if we have hamburger, we want, you know, we murmur and complain a lot. But that's a whole nother testimony. But do you know when? Think about Mary. We think, wow, highly favored of the Lord. She could have been stoned. She could have been killed. She was an outcast. But that Joseph was willing to take her in and listen to God and protect her from that and give her honor and dignity. But yet she said, be it unto me as thou will. Are you able to say that in your life? God, whatever you have for me. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you and bless you and praise your name. We think in that song, oh, I want to see him. Do we? I don't know, Brother Thompson. My heart goes out to you. I'm glad you're here. I mean, I am. I'm not saying this jokingly or lightly. I'm glad you're here. But my heart goes out to you because you could have been in such a better place. I thank God that he knows that he can trust you to come back and serve him with all your heart and continue on what he's called you to do. Is it really our desire to see God? Do you see him in every situation that you face? In the good times, in the bad times, You know, our wedding vows used to be in sickness and in health. They've changed it, you know. Now if I feel good and I still am lusting after you, next year I'll stay married to you. It's true. And we carry that into our relationship with our spiritual bridegroom. If you do me right, if you give me what I want, when I want it, how I want it, and in the size I want it, in other words, if you are my Burger King rather than my King of Kings, then I'll grace you with my presence on Sunday morning. If you really give me what I want, then I'll drive my Mercedes to church on Sunday night. God, I want it my way. I've had a chronic illness for the past 20 years. And people would gather around me and pray, Lord, heal her. That's fine, God. If you want to heal me, I'm all for it, and I'll sing your praises for it. I thank God I have not had a full-blown episode in a year, and I thank my God for that. I thank God for that. But more important than that, I thank God for the opportunity to be a witness of his grace, that in sickness as well as in health, we can praise him. When I was a brand-new convert, my very first scripture that I learned in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin, and I memorized it and I committed it to my heart, was in Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. I just want to be in your house, God. I just want to be a testimony of your grace and your mercy. I want to be a testimony of your power. Now I'm adding a lot to that scripture. But when I am just seeking him, the one thing, it's not what God can give me. It's not where he can take me. It's not even what he does through me to minister to other people. If I lose my relationship with Jesus Christ, if I'm not willing to say, whatever your will is, God, I'm willing to go there. I'm willing to do it. I can't lose my one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that do I continue to seek after. Just to be in his presence. I never want to be the spoiled brat or the ungrateful wife that gets the gift and 2 seconds later is asking for more. I don't want to be that way in the natural, and I really don't want to be that way spiritually. When I go to prayer, yes, I pray for people, I pray for needs, I pray for a lot of things. But a vast majority of my prayer time is just spent in his presence. Allowing him to speak to me. Just letting him tell me what he wants to say to me. A dear friend of mine said over lunch today that she was told at one point, just shut your mouth and don't talk quite so much. Let God have his way. One thing have I desired of the Lord. It's wonderful to be in his presence. Our song said, oh, I want to see him. I want to walk on the streets. I want to sing of his grace, but I don't want to get up, wait till I get up there to sing of his grace, to sing of his great power, to be a witness and a testimony of his changing power, of his keeping power, of his faithfulness. I want to do it here and now. I want everybody that I come in contact to say, whoa, what is it about her? What is it about her? And then I can say to them, I serve the one true and living God. He's the lover of my soul. He's the one that's made a change in my life. He's the one that's taught me how to be what I need to be. One thing have I desired of the Lord. It's an honor to be here. My hat goes off. If I wore hats, I would don it to those that have been here for the full 38 years. What a testimony of God's keeping power in this time of temporal things that we have men and women that stand for the truth of God, that are a rock and a pillar. When things can get shaky, our God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thus, our desire should be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What I want shouldn't change. And if I can be with him, if I can be in his presence, I've got everything that I need. And everything else is just an added blessing and bonus. God bless you. Let's get into the preaching of the word tonight. Amen. Absorb the word of God. He's got something for each one of us. Or he wouldn't be here waiting, just wooing us with his spirit. Can you feel it? I just feel this anticipatory wooing of the spirit saying, open your hearts. Open your hearts. Let me speak my word to you. and he will give us what we have need of. God bless you.
Thank you. You stand one more time. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 49. Again, I want to thank Pastor Grant, Brother Pastor Roy, all the ministry staff, all of you children of the Most High God. I mean, it's good to be here. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 49. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 49. Now his parents went up to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposed him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And after that, and all that heard him was astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Would you not that I must be about my father's business? And I want to come to you tonight from this thought. Let's go back to the start. Let's go back to the start. Pray with me one more time. Father, again, we praise you. We honor you. We give thanks for your presence that is in this place. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay with us again, God. We thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to be in your presence, Lord. We thank you for your kindness, your grace, your mercy, and all that you do for us. Father, you know every need that's in this place. You know every situation, and there's nothing too hard for you. We're asking you, God, to let none of us leave the way that we came, but let us leave changed and renewed and refreshed in the Holy Ghost. And we will give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise and all the thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Clap your hands, all you people. Hallelujah. 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 And you may be seated again tonight. Praise God. Let's go back to the start. Mary seems to be in a hysterical state about the possibility of losing Jesus. She seems to be in a pathetic outrage. And so they began to retract their steps and hope to find Jesus before he is too far gone. There is no way that she can continue on her journey without Jesus being next to her and Jesus being in her life. If you can imagine that what Mary must have felt like, having lost the very child that Jesus gave her to protect and to look after. Praise God. Many people has lost Jesus and they are trying to continue on in their life without him. But Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Amen. So without him, you can do nothing, and you're not going to be able to get to the point that you are tried to get to. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delight in his way. Praise God. When I was in the Army, as you heard this morning, during our land navigational training, they always told us if we became lost and disoriented to go back to our last known point and start again. Let me say that again. If you became lost and disoriented, go back to the last known point and start again. Some of you have become disoriented. You have began to question your faith.
You have begun to condemn yourself. You have lost your focus. You have lost your vision. You have lost your determination to continue on. You have lost your tenacity. In other words, you don't have any standing power and stay in power. You've lost your resolve. It is hard for you to make a decision and render a decision. You began to question if living for God is even worth it. You have become restless. You have become tired. You have become burnt out, perplexed, despair, and disquieted. You are uneasy and you're suffering from anxiety. In other words, it is becoming a ball of confusion. What you need to do is just go back to the altar and stay there until you're endued with Holy Ghost power all over again. You need to go back to that last known point and get a solid relationship with Jesus Christ and remember from where you have fallen and repent and start again. You need to go back to the altar. The altar is always the starting point. You start from the altar. You always go back to the altar when you become disquieted and disoriented. Hallelujah. In Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel says, he brought me to the house and waters gushed out from under the altar coming out of the east way. And he took me around to the north side of the house and waters gushed out from under the altar. And he brought me to the river. And as he brought me to the river, he measured 1,000. And as he measured 1,000, he took me through the water and the water was at my ankles. He measured 1,000 and he took me through the water and the water was at my knees. He measured 1,000 and he took me through the water and the water was at my waist. He brought me back to the brink of the river. Amen. And he put me on the side of the river and the waters was now up to my chest. There was waters to swim in, waters that I couldn't get across. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? He says, everywhere that these waters go, they go to the desert places. They go down to the south. They go to the east. And everywhere the waters come, they shall be for the healing of the nation. Amen. Praise God. Everywhere that it go is to be for the healing of the nation. Jesus says to you and I, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise God. Jesus said in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken hearts, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You and I, if we have been filled with the Holy Ghost and been baptized in Jesus' name, we are now the anointed ones. And everywhere we go, we are for the healing of the nations. We are for the healing of the lands. We are to deliver. We are to set free the captives. But if we lose our focus, if we lose our resolve, if we lose our determination, then it's not going to get done. Praise God. John says, but if the anointed, which you have received of him by abiding you, you have no need that any man teach you, but the same anointing will teach you of what you need to do. Hallelujah. Jacob, we know the story of Jacob and his brother Esau. And Jacob's mother, Rebekah, sent her to live with his uncle Laban because his brother Esau has said he's going to kill him. Talking about disorientation inside of the family. Praise God. And Jacob came to a point of land. and it was called lust. And there, as the sun began to go down, Jacob began to reach over and he got himself some stones and he made a pillow for his head. And Jacob fell to sleep with his head upon those stones. And he dreamed a dream, and Jacob saw a ladder reaching from earth to heaven, and the angels of God was ascending and descending upon that ladder. And God was at the top. And Jacob woke up out of that dream, amen, and he said, surely this is nothing but the house of God and the gateway to heaven. I want you to know tonight that the church is the gateway to heaven. You're not going to get to heaven outside of the church. I don't care what people teach you and what people tell you about the church. There's some that says you don't need the church to make it to heaven, but I beg to differ. You need the church, amen, to get to the point. God has ordained the church for such a time as this. Praise God. Jesus says, amen. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Amen. We need the church. And Jacob says, this is nothing but the house of God and the gate to heaven. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that lead to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that lead to life, and few there be that finds it. And God spoke to Jacob and says, where you lay, I will bring you back to this place. And Jacob says, if God will keep me in this way and give me food to eat and clothes to wear, I will give God a tenth of everything that he give to me. Do you give God a tenth of everything he give to you? Can I ask you a question? Can God trust you with money? If you don't tithe, he can't. If you don't give offerings, he can't. You just tell God right there, God, you can't trust me with money, so don't give me any more. Jacob says, if God keep me in this way and bring me back to this place in peace to my father's house, I will give him a tenth of everything that he give me. And Jacob took those rocks that he has prepared for his head, a pillar, and he anointed them with oil, and he changed the name of that place from Luz to Bethel. And Bethel means the house of God. And God says, I will bring you back to this point. When you get disoriented, Jacob, when things ain't going right, I'm going to bring you right back to this point. I'm going to bring you right back to the house of God. And Jacob goes and he stays with his uncle Laban. And the first person Jacob runs into is Rachel. He falls in love with her. He wants her. He worked for 7 years for Rachel. And what happens? His uncle Laban gives him the wrong woman. You don't think that will start confusion in your life? You work for 7 years to get the right one, and then they give you the wrong one? Oh, my. He changes his wages 10 times. Every time Jacob tries to do something, his uncle Laban would change it. And Jacob started to become disoriented. He started to become lost. He started to get away from what he knew and what he had been taught. And God saw what was taking place. And God appeared to Laban and said, Jacob, and says, now it is time for me to take you back to the place from where I have brought you from. And God told him, prepare your stuff. We're getting out of here. And he brought Jacob back to the land of Canaan. And when they came into the land of Canaan, God appeared unto Jacob and he says, I want you to go to Bethel and go there and worship. And God said to him, go go and worship. And Jacob turned to his family and says, get ready, wash you, change your garments, get rid of all the false gods, get rid of all the idols out of your life. We're going up to Bethel to worship. And his family, they washed themselves, they changed their garments, they got out of their earrings, they got out of their jewelry, and they gave it to Jacob. He buried it on a tree, and they went to Bethel and they worshiped. They went back to the house of God. When you get disoriented, you got to go back to the house of God. When we look at the transition between Elijah and Elisha, the first place that Elisha tell Elisha, he says, stay here, because God is sending me to Bethel. And Elijah said to Elijah, as God liveth and as my soul liveth, I won't leave you, praise God, nor will I go away from you. And the first place they go is to Bethel, to the house of God. Elijah wants him to know that if you're going to have a ministry, it's got to flow from the house of God. If you're going to speak for God, it's got to flow from the house of God. If you're not stable in the house of God, you can't minister for God. You can't even be a servant of the Lord unless you're faithful to the house of God. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion, and the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me on a rock. My head will be high above my enemies round about me. Therefore, when I open his tabernacle, the sacrifices of joy, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. He says, a day in thy court is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Hallelujah. You got to stay in the way. Hallelujah. It all flows from the church. When Naomi and her family, they was born in a city called Bethlehem, Judea. And because there was a famine in the land, and her husband and her two sons, and Naomi leaves Bethlehem, Judea, and they go into a city and a nation called Moab. And there, Naomi's sons married two daughters. One was called Ruth, the other was called Orpah. And as they got there, amen, and they're through the process of time, Naomi's husband dies, her sons die, amen, and now she's left with only two daughter-in-laws. She's disoriented. She's perplexed. She's confused. She don't know what to do. But she gets word that they are now bred inside of Bethlehem, Judea. So she turned the roof in Ophir and she says, I'm going back and you can go back home to your family. They weep and they cry. And as a result, Ophir goes. But Ruth says to Naomi, entreat me not to leave you. Where you go, I'm going. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you live, there will I live. Where you die, there will I die. And there will I also be buried. The only thing that's going to separate you and me is death. Amen. Ruth, amen, is ready to go back. Naomi is perplexed. She's confused. She's disoriented. And she don't know what to do. God sees the plan that he has for Ruth. So he says, let me take them back to Bethel. Let me get them back to the starting point. And so they come back to the starting point. If you don't think Naomi is confused and perplexed, listen to what she says. As they walk into the town of Bethlehem, Judea, Naomi says, the people says, here's Naomi. She says, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant, loving, and kind. She says, call me Mara, which means bitter, angry, resentful, hateful, spiteful. Amen. Can you imagine that you don't want to be called pleasant? You don't want to be kind. You don't want to be loving, but you would rather be angry, perplexed, despair. And that's why God says, I got to get her back to the starting point. And as he brings her back to the starting point, Ruth meets Boaz, and they get married, and they have a son, and they call his name Obed, which is the father of Jesse, which is the father of our King David, which is the father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to the flesh. But it had to come from the start. It had to go back to the starting point. Anytime you're disoriented, anytime you're confused, get back to the starting point. Get back to the altar. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. Can you imagine that? But after 4 days, they find him where? In the temple. The same place they had gone to worship. And Mary said to him, "Son, why have you dealt such with us? Are your father and I have sought thee sorry?" And I can hear Jesus says, "Well, Mom, how did you look for me? Hey, Mom, how did you look for me? Did you seek for me with all your heart? Did you look into the Word of God and see if I was there? Just how did you seek for me? If anybody should have known, Mom, you should have knew that I'd be about my Father's business, and it starts in the house of God. It's gonna, you know, I came to set the captives free. I came to deliver those that are bruised, and it has to start, Mom, in the house of God. I've got to get the house right, for that's what I came for, to set up the house of God. And we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and whom all the building fit framely together and grows up into a holy temple unto the Lord." It starts in the house of God. How do you look for him when he doesn't seem to be there? Do you search for him with all your heart? Do you look for him in the Word of God? Jesus says, "Search the scripture, for in them you think you have life, and they are they which testify of me. But you will not come to me that you may have life." Jeremiah says, "Stand ye and ask for the old ways and get in the straight path." Amen. Isaiah says, "There's a way that is called holiness, and the uncleanness that cannot enter there." You've got to get in the right way. You've got to get back to the starting point. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to go back to the starting point. I believe that it's time that the church get back to the start. There's too much confusion in the church. If anybody shall be in their right mind, it is the children of God. Isaiah says he will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him, because you trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. There's too much disorientation in the church. There's too much confusion. There's too much restlessness. There's too much unrest in the church. The statistic report says that voice in the church is higher than the world. And James says, "My brethren, that ought not so to be. Sickness among saints is just as bad as it is among sinners. Everybody seems to be on some kind of medication, a drug for something. Bickering and murmuring is just as bad among saints as sinners." One songwriter says, "Everybody's song is gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, I have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me." But Brother G.T. Haywood says, "When gloom and sadness whispers you've sinned, there's no need to pray." He says, "I look away to Jesus, and he tells me to say, I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves, which reach the throne of God, are now sweeping over me." You don't sing a sad song, honey. You don't walk around with your head down. The Bible says you lift up your heads, O ye gates, and you be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Get back to the starting point. Hallelujah. Jesus says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Paul says, oh, foolish Galatians, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? He says, if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you walk in the flesh, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: idolatry, fornication, lasciviousness, uncleanliness, idolatry, amen, hatred, variance, emulation, witchcraft, strife, sedition, heresies, drunkenness, envy, of which I've told you before, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Against such there is no law. And they that be Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let's walk in it. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need to get back to the starting point. Hallelujah. You're not going to be made perfect by the flesh. Hallelujah. Every one of us started this journey at an altar somewhere. We got baptized in Jesus' name. We got filled with the Holy Ghost. And God put us on a journey. Same way he's told his disciples. He said, let's go to the other side. But you know what? We don't like the wilderness experience. We don't like to go through anything. This wilderness experience is just a little bit too rough. But everybody I read in Scripture, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, the apostles, they all went in the wilderness. And every one of them that came out, they came out ready to do something for God. See, so if you don't want to do the wilderness experience, you can't even do a hardness of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we are on this journey, and God is trying to humble you, but you don't want to have humility in your life. James says, you humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will exalt you. And due time. Peter says you put on. In other words, you clothe yourself in humility or humbleness. We have got to learn to be humble. The opposite of humble is pride. God is trying to humble us, but we don't like to be humble. God is trying to prove us, but we don't like the proving process. God is trying to see what's in our heart, and we don't like the operation. God is trying to let us know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. But we don't want to line up with the word of God. God is trying to let you and I know that as a father chasing his children, so he chasteneth us, and we don't like the chastening process. Peter says you need to add to your faith virtue. In other words, you need moral excellency in your life. Ethics and etiquette is needed in every child of God. We don't have any behavior. We don't have any manners anymore. People wear their hats in the building. People talk on the cell phones when they're eating at the table, texting messages. No civility at all in our lives. And we say we're children of God. get back to the altar. We need to get back to the starting point. We need to get renewed in the faith. We need to get renewed in the spirit, because those things ought not so to be, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. When Peter says, you add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge. Jesus says, don't let the rich man glory in his riches. Don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't let the mighty man glory in his might. But let him the glory in this, that he know and understand me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and righteousness and judgment in the earth. For in these things do I light, said the Lord. God wants you to know him in his fullness. Amen. And when you come into a full relationship of God, you will begin to see God for who he is. We need to get our vision of him unfolded. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the serpents, each having six wings. With twain they covered their eyes, with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. And they cried one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And the posts of the door moved at him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips, for I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You need to get your vision of God unfolded. If you get God in your life, you're going to see he's number one, and you have no room for anything else. But as long as God is not first priority and number one in your life, everything else is going to clutter. You got to go back to the starting point. You got to go back to the altar. Knowledge. To knowledge, patience. To patience, godliness, holiness. People are questioning holiness. Don't you know without holiness, no man shall see the Lord? You got to have holiness in your life. Praise God. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. Now notice what he says. If these things be in you and abound, they make that you be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But any man that likes these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins at an altar of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. You forgot it. You came to the altar. You asked God to forgive you, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But if these things are not in your life, if godliness and holiness and deliverance and faith and charity and purity is not in your life, you forgot God. And you need to get back to the starting point. You're always going to be disoriented. You're always going to be confused if God is not number one in your life. Because without me, you can do nothing. We're in the wilderness, but we don't like it. The children of Israel didn't want any more manna. Yeah, I have morning manna. They didn't want any more manna. You know what they said? We're tired of this light bread. See, if you're down from the south, you know, we use that terminology, light bread for white bread. They said, we're tired of this light bread. In other words, we don't want what God is. People don't like the preaching the word anymore. Give it to them in 15 minutes and that's it. That's all I can handle. I got to go. This ain't Burger King. You can't have it your way. How was it at the start? I'll tell you how the Bible said it was at the start. They stood a whole half a day to hear the word of God minister. Amen. Paul preached all night one time and a man fell out the window asleep. That's how it started. We need to make sure that we don't get tired of the Word of God, because the Word of God is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividers of under of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of your heart. This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy Word has delivered me. It is the Word of God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want you to know you need the Word of God. This is my comfort and my afflictions. He's exalted his Word above his name. You need the Word of God. They don't want to hear the Word of God anymore. Paul says this gospel didn't come in word only, but it came with power and the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. You look at the early church, they had church. They had revival, and they had evangelism. You know why? Because they stuck with the pattern. They stuck with what it started with on the day of Pentecost. You want to have church, you need to do it the way they did it in the old days. You want to have revival, you need to have revival the old way. You want to have evangelism, you got to do it the old way. Your life must reflect Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did you know you can knock on doors all day long and you'll probably never see anybody come to church? But if your life reflects Christ Jesus, I guarantee you somebody is going to notice, and they're going to turn to you and says, what must I do to be saved? Do you know what the word revival means? I hear people says, we need revival. You know what that means? That means the saints are dead. They say we need revival. That's what it means. Somebody's dead. They need reviving. So everybody in here should be alive. Hello? Anybody home? Praise God. We need to have it the old-fashioned way. We need to get back to the altar and be endued with that Holy Ghost power. I tell people all the time, I say, you know what? I says, you need to repent of your sins. You need to get baptized in Jesus' name. And you really say you need to have the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God give the utterance. You need to live a holy and godly life separated from this world. And you know what people say to me? That's your doctrine. Yeah, it is my doctrine. Hey, you better believe it's my doctrine, because Paul says you mark them that cause offense contrary to the doctrine and you avoid them. You go back to this book and you're going to see that that's how it started, and you ain't going to change it, honey. You're going to either repent, get baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, or you're not going to make it to the other side. I don't care what other people say. It was got to be according to the pattern that was first established by the church. You better get in it right, or else you are not going to make it to the other side. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight under the sound of my voice, I know there's those rough spots that you hit in the bump in the road. You drive on Interstate 94 going between here and Eau Claire, man, it beat you half to death. Even in this walk with God, there's bumps in the road. Some of them are deep. Some of them shake you pretty bad. Family sometimes can, boy, they can just bring you completely out. You can become disoriented and start becoming confused. And some of you is probably starting to question your faith. Maybe you start questioning if even continuing on is worth it. But I want to tell you, it's worth every bit of it. I wouldn't trade it for for anything. There's an old song that says, Lord, take me back to that old landmark. Help me find my direction and begin a fresh start. Help me find my direction and put a burden in my heart. Oh, Lord, take me back to that old landmark. Where was it that you had joy with Jesus? Where was it that you lifted your hands and began to magnify Him and praise Him and joy? And you left church having a great time. I bet you you'll find out it was at the altar. So I want to encourage you tonight. Let's go back to that old landmark. Let's come to the altar, every one of us, and let's start afresh.